for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape one of two tapes of the afternoon teaching session by Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee. This is the ladies' seminar meetings being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I want to tell y'all, I was back there talking to Sister Ruthie just now, and I said, she was talking to me about me moving, and I said, I was wanting to move because I'm so invaded by demons at where I live that when I move, I'm praying the Lord will cover me and they can't find me. It's the truth. I'm telling you, it seems like in the last 6 weeks, it's been horrendous, the warfare has. And after I got back into real deliverance again in my church, hadn't been in real deliverance for a while. We've been doing the touch and go kind, mass deliverance mostly. But I got into real deliverance. I was full of surprise, attacked on the spirit one night. And after this happened, the warfare at my house really became fierce. So I thought, Lord, I'm always glad when it's confirmed what you have us doing, you know. So, anyways, well, praise the Lord. Glenn, what time are we going to break?
That's up to you.
Okay.
I'll break the tapes up, whatever you do.
Okay. Okay, I want to teach this afternoon. I told y'all this morning I was going to teach on prayer. But I think I would really like to share, do a lot of sharing, and I want to go on to schizophrenia or double-mindedness. And when I get into double-minded spirits, we get into the false personalities. And then I would like to do some deliverance on it, if that's okay with everybody. And we want to see the Lord really... I thought it was real interesting. A couple of weeks ago, how many of y'all know Dr. Noel? When I taught this, I taught this in my church one Sunday morning, and we had a real good deliverance from it. I taught it, and I'm going to start with rejection. And when I got through services, I think it was a couple of days later, I got a phone call from Doc, and he said, guess what I'm studying on? And I said, what? He said, the schizophrenic spirit. I said, hey, Doc, were you in my church the other day? I thought it was real interesting because, you see, the Lord just confirms His word. He gives me something and someone else comes forth with it also. So, anyways, if you will, open your Bibles to James and chapter 1, and I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this afternoon, Lord, as children, as your children, Lord, and we come, and we come in the authority you've given us, and we ask you, Father, to give us ears to hear with, and eyes to see with, and a heart to understand your word. Lord, let the word become real to us. Open us up, Father, to receive. And Lord, I ask you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance those things that you would have me to share. And Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, you know in myself I cannot do nothing, but I thank you, Lord, that I'm in Jesus Christ and He's in me and I can do all things through Him. And Lord, now in Jesus' name, in the authority you've given me, where I'm seated in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, I take my authority and I come against those forces of in the heavenlies. I bind the strong man over this church. I bind every hindering spirit and ask for a blood shield around me that the enemy cannot come against my mind or any area of my thoughts in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the authority. And you said in your word, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed. And so, Father, I bind every loose spirit in here. I bind any witchcraft. I bind astral projection, soul travel, anything that would come to hinder in any way. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you again for your mercy and your grace and your love. Lord, just for your patience with us. And we give you praise, honor, and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I don't really remember how the Lord got me into this again. I had taught over here once on double-mindedness, but I titled this one Rejection and Rebellion. I'm going to do something. I hope I don't embarrass her. Charlotte, would you stand up? This is a lady from my church, and a lot of you girls have heard me speak of Charlotte. Lord taught me much in deliverance with her. And the Lord set her free and really is really using her in deliverance. When I first started in deliverance, my husband used to tell him we got started in deliverance that he was dragged down the aisle by his heels. He didn't want in deliverance. And he wanted a healing ministry. And I told him, I said, God gave you one. You cast out the spirits and you pray for healing for the damage that's done. But the Lord allowed me, just threw me into it. I don't know how, of what manifestations of spirits in my house, in people that I was praying for. And I found out I didn't know what to do when they did that. And so I thought it was time I learned a little something about it. We were walking, you know, with the Lord and really hungry for the things of the Lord. But I praise the Lord that he has given me a little bit of knowledge, not enough. I'm still seeking and still learning. And it's always good to hear that the word's confirmed. And I've been hearing all the things that God has given me to share come out of other people's mouths up here today and last night. And I just praise the Lord for it. So in James in chapter 1, I think someone else has already used this. Maybe it's been used a couple of times. But in verse 5, it says, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and that upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And when you look at that double-minded and you look up the words in the concordance, it talks about a man with two souls. And in the soul, in our souls, we have our mind, our will, our emotions, our personality, our ability, our appetite. That makes up our who we are. And Sister Ruth was talking this morning, and it just blessed me because this has been my prayer a long time, Lord, to bring the soul in subjection to the spirit. And I'll say this before I go on. When the Lord taught me that the soul could be removed, that could be fragmented and torn, and if you want a scripture on that, it's Psalms 7, verse 2. It talks about the soul being torn and to pieces. And then it goes on to say, while there was none to deliver. And over in Psalms 19, I think it's verse 7, says, the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that word converting is restoring the soul. And we, in the churches, we've always talked about getting people's souls saved. And I'm just giving you a little, since I got a long time, I can kind of wander around, can't I? We've always heard about the soul being restored, that God restored our soul. And we need to, over in Psalm 23, he said, he restoreth my soul. Well, I never really thought about it until I got into deliverance. And when I was ministering and found out that the soul could be torn and be removed, and course, you know, when part of the soul is removed, a piece of your soul had been removed by the enemy, he's very generous. He gives you something in place of it. And this is where we begin to get all these things that are come into us and begin to become personalities, soul tie. I hope I don't make her uncomfortable, but I've used it so many times. But when the Lord first brought me into this, we were doing deliverance on her one Sunday morning, and we were so criticized because we were right in front of the Lord's supper table and she was on the floor. And they said, you should take her to the back room. Well, Jesus did it out on the street. And so when they tell that to me, and I said, I haven't yet done it on the street. I did in pennies, but never on the street. True. True. Sat down in pennies and had deliverance. Not just two of us. There was four of us. But everybody went that way around us. But they was telling us that we should not do it there. But this thing manifested in her, for we'd been ministering to her and we were learning. And when we would minister to her, I'm telling you this to show you that personalities are demonic. And she kept, the things in her would manifest and say, I'd say, who are you? See, I'm learning. I was learning deliverance. And the thing would talk to me and says, it's just little old me. And I thought, well, little old me who? You know. And this went on for a while. And finally, one Sunday morning, something else manifested on the Lord's Supper table. And my son and another guy was ministering there with me. And the thing the demon screamed out at me and said his name was Pyrox, and I thought he said Clorox, and I thought, well, who's Pyrox? I've never heard of that before. And my son said to me, Mother, there's a book that you brought back from Chicago that I read, and it's that thing is a ruler over false personalities. I said, haven't you read it? I said, I never read a book. I don't have time. And so, anyways, I thought, well, okay. But I still didn't know who I was dealing with. But every time that thing would tell me it was just little old me, I was dealing with false personality, and we finally learned that it had a number. And it was called her. Charlotte. I'm going to say that. It's on the tape, but that's okay. They don't know Charlotte who. And it said Charlotte number one, Charlotte number two, Charlotte number three. And we were getting them out, not one, two, three. We got them out as they came up. We'd get something out, and she'd be okay for a little while, and then another one manifests. Well, we found out that we couldn't get them out unless we... When they manifested, let me stop and back up. When they manifested, they always acted and took on personalities of other people, and they even talk like other people. And her countenance would change. I'd work with the thing, calling it out, and said, you got to go. And he said, I don't have to go. You got to know how we... He just would sit there and tell me he didn't have to go. You know, it's so frustrating. You know, you got authority. You know the name of Jesus. It's got to go. And he was sitting there saying, he doesn't have to go. And so finally I said, Lord, what is wrong? And he said, break a soul tie between her and the person that is manifested. And when I broke the soul tie, then I could call out that personality. We got 15 of them out. And she would come into church, and every time we would talk about witchcraft, she would say, I don't believe in witchcraft. Can't touch me. I don't believe in witchcraft. She was really against witchcraft. And, you know, people, I find this, that if we're hard against something, we better check up and see what's making us be hard against it. Her husband brought her to church one Sunday morning. She couldn't walk. He carried her in our church. And we started praying for her up in the front of the church, the back of the church, back by the door, whichever way you want to call it, where you come in. And when the Lord spoke and said, break witchcraft curse, when number 13 manifested, what's 13 in the scriptures? Anybody know? It's rebellion. What's rebellion? As a sin of witchcraft. And when we broke that 13 over her, then she got free from it, and then she was delivered from the ruler spirit, who was Pyrox. But each one of those personalities was demonic, and it had to be thrown out. You can't roll them together, and you can't get them saved. They're demons. She can stand up and give testimony of some of the stuff she went through. Someday I think she'll write a book about what the Lord did for her. And I'm believing she will one day. Because the Lord really did free her. But when we got down, after we got the pyrox cast out of her, then we ran into the double-minded spirit, the split pea, and schizophrenia, which was the ruler, double-mindedness. And schizophrenia wasn't hard to get out. It was the rebellion and the rejection that was the hard ones to get out. So I want you to know, I'm telling you all this to show you, I'm going to show you on rejection, how rejection works to open the door for so much in our lives. And you know, we'll come up and just get prayed for rejection. But there's so much rejection on us, we may just get free from what my son usually calls a peon, just a small spirit. But when you get to the ruler of rejection, you're going to get the root of it out, okay? And so, and I'm going to say this before I go any further. Rejection, you all know, you that are in deliverance and you that are feeling a lot of rejection can come in the womb. We've dealt with women that were delivered from rejection that their parents had tried to abort them. Their mother had tried to abort them and didn't. And just that the rejection was just terrible. Because if your mother tries to abort a baby and it's not successful, all of that's there. And you know, you stop and think, in the era of rejection, I'm so glad we're just women in here today, because Glenn's heard this all before, so it's okay. But when a woman is pregnant, maybe they have three or four children, or maybe they don't have any, and they don't want children right now. And the minute they get pregnant, they say, "Oh, I don't want to be pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant. I don't want to have a baby now. We can't afford it. We don't have the money. You know, we want everything so." And those words, you know, words are spirit. You know, Jesus said his words are spirit and they were life. And he said that our words, what did he say about ours over in the Proverbs? What did Proverbs say? Proverbs 18:20. Life and death. And so words are spirit and they will bring loose life or they'll loose death. And when we speak against, say a woman didn't want to be pregnant and she spoke against it, that baby received it. And did you know that if they knew about deliverance and knew what they had done, a person had knew what they'd done, they could call that rejection off that baby from the womb while it's still in the womb? You know, that's why it's so important. I've shared this a lot of times about women talking and loosing love on their children in the womb. So when they come into the world, they know they're loved. But we do a lot of things, we have done a lot of things to our children in the womb, and we received it a lot. And I would say most every one of us. I think I was the fifth child in my family. I just couldn't imagine my mother really wanting another baby. Mighty quiet in here. Yeah. And so we all have rejection. I don't know of anyone that doesn't have rejection of some kind. We had rejection if we've been delivered from it. But it comes in the womb. You say, what's that got to do with double-mindedness? Well, we're going to go on and see, okay? Okay, let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. And verse 24, Jesus said here, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Any of you in here have a hard time making up your mind about things? One day you're going to do this, you're just going to do it. And then all of a sudden, Well, I'm not sure. Should I do that or not? Well, I can get back over here. Well, I think so. I think I'll go do that. Well, maybe not. We get double-minded. We're double-minded on things. And that thing controls our lives a lot of times. Instead of just making a decision, go do it. God says, go do it. God gives us something to do. Says, you go do this. And, well, was that God's voice? Or was that the enemy? You see, it's really hard when we're walking in this double-mindedness, when we're, let's do it this way. It's taking that scripture there where Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon money. You can't, can you come, you're going to, you come to church and you hear a good sermon and you get all fired up. Bless the Lord, I'm going to commit everything I got and serve the Lord no matter what it costs me. Well, it costs you everything you have when you make that decision. You've made a decision, but then all these things begin to come along and it pulls you off of it. And so then you're walking trying to walk down two roads. I'm going to serve the Lord with all I've got. But I got to go over here and take care of my family. I got to take care of my kids. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, I'm going to serve the Lord. He wants me to stay in His Word. He wants me to obey Him. He wants me to do this. Or He just wants me to have time with Him. But we're double-minded and we're pulled off over here. Well, I got to go do this and do that. God doesn't tell us not to do those things. But what we need to do is to make a decision and stick to it. Say, Lord, now, I'm talking from one that just went through a lot of that, okay? And the Lord, you know, when I said, okay, Lord, I'm not moving. And when I say move, I mean I'm not moving out of this chair or house until you show me and I know it's you. And, you know, I made a decision. I said, Lord, if I go broke, if I get in trouble, whatever, it's me and you. And I don't care what anybody says. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of pleasing man. I'm going to please you. And if everybody leaves me, Lord, I still got you. Because I've had him for the last 15 months. It's just been he and I. And we talk a lot. I hear the sound of my voice and I hear him. And I praise the Lord for it because He's given me time. He's given me time alone with Him, and He's showing me. I was just telling him, I digress, but I'm going to tell you this. I just bought a new house, and I'm fixing to move into it. But three trips I made over there. First time I went over there, I liked it, but I'd seen quite a few, and I thought there was about three of them that I liked, and I thought, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I still didn't have a yes from the Lord, because I'd made a decision, wasn't moving until He told me to. So my realtor took me back, and I looked at it again. Got Charlotte to go with me. She liked it, and that was encouraging. Went back home, and I thought, Lord, I'm not going to do anything until I know it's what you want. Well, my realtor called and said, meet me over there, and we'll look again, and you can check it out. I went over there, and I was telling Glenn while I go, and I said, I walked in, and all of a sudden, just the peace of God came. And I was home. It was like, I'm home. I don't have peace, furniture, or anything. No, I was home. That was where the Lord wanted me. Make a decision, stick with it no matter what the cost, and not be double-minded in it. God wants us free from the double-minded spirits. He wants us free from all of these fears. I'm going to show you that rejection opened the door for so many things in our lives. And Jesus said here, He said, you can't walk in two worlds. You know, the pull of this world is so strong, and the things of this world. You know, I will tell y'all this. I'm not ashamed of it. I've lived in a rented house all my life. 50-something years in this house. Y'all want to come over and help me move? Oh, boy. 50-something years, really. And so I'm moving into a brand new house. Do you know what? I could care less. Mm-hmm. They keep asking me, oh, when you going to move? I don't know. I'm still waiting on the Lord. How you going to move? I don't know. Whether I'm going to, bring the movers in. I don't know if my sons are coming to move. I don't know. I really don't care. I just know I got to move, and I'm going to get moved. I'm more concerned about my roses in my yard than I am my furniture in the house. But you know, the thing that I know is that when I made a decision and stuck with it, there's such peace. And I said, Lord, you know, I wouldn't care. And I told my husband this before he got real sick. I wouldn't care if I lived out of the back of my car and as long as I was serving the Lord and I knew it was what he wanted. But you know, God doesn't care if you have a house. He doesn't. But don't make it your God.
Amen.
Don't make your children your God.
Amen.
You know, Sister Ruth used that scripture this morning. We have come with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I hear people quote that all the time. You see, I just stopped. That's not all of it. And that's why we were quoted. It's like Hosea. We quote Hosea 6:4. It says, my people perish from lack of knowledge. I have heard that quoted and quoted, and I say, quote the rest of it. Said, because you rejected knowledge, I'll reject your children. Read the whole thing. Because God's people have rejected the knowledge, God says, because we reject his word, he'll reject our children. And then you go on and read all the way down, I think it's three or four verses there, and it tells you more about it. And when you make a decision sometimes to serve the Lord totally, you'll find yourself alone. I mean, alone. But you know what? Jesus is there. And he says he'll bring our families back from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. When we are obedient to him, when we put him first, when we give him the honor and glory that's due him, and not let make gods. You know, we make gods out of our children. I told one time about how I had my gods, my children hanging all over my wall. And I did. I mean, oh, I'm talking about pictures. One, I had four kids. And one wall was one family, one child's family, and one, you know, all the way around. And then I had you walk in my house, and I had this oval table, kind of, it's not a hall, but it's in front of a closet door, and had a lamp sitting on it, and I had my grandchildren, my little idols sitting there, had a light on them. And if you walked in, if you didn't notice them, I'd tell you about them. Look at my kids. Aren't they cute? You know, my grandchildren, and I got great-grandchildren now. Some of them I hadn't even seen. In fact, only one I've seen. I got four. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, get rid of your idols. I said, Lord, I don't have a picture on the wall. I just got scripture. I got rid of stuff. Lord, we've thrown away, we've thrown away everything. I mean, you know, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, get rid of your idols. And I said, well, where are my idols? You tell me, and I'll get rid of them. And then he showed my altar to me. He said, you built an altar to those grandchildren. He said, you tear down your altar. And I did. I took my pictures out of the frame and put them all in a box. And I told my kids, I said, now, all my pictures are here, and I'm going to get rid of them. I said, I love my kids, I love my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. But you said, why are you getting rid of them? Well, I can give you a scripture for that. Over in Deuteronomy, in I think it's chapter 4, God says you're not to make an image of anything. And a picture is an image. He said, man, you're just real tacky. Yeah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul. We're so wandering around today. But you know what? God blesses us when we are obedient to him. And it was hard. I'm not telling you I did this easily, because it was hard. But I said, and I took my kids, the ones that were saved, to the scripture, and I told them what the word said. And I said, now, if you want the pictures, fine, they're yours. But I said, the word says that we're not to make images of anything. God said, in heaven above and the earth and beneath the earth. I know I stepped on a lot of toes, but I'm just... The Lord told me, in Ezekiel, he said, I called you to go and take the word to my people. And he said, they won't believe you, but if you don't tell them, their blood's on your hands. And if you tell them, and if they hear you, then their blood's not on your hands. So it's not my job to make you believe. It's my job to tell you. So I'm just telling you what happened to me. You know, you talk a bit to the Lord about it, you pray about it, and say, well, God tells you, he may not tell you what he told me. But I can give you some more scriptures on that, but I won't. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Sister Ruth quoted that this morning. But I want us to read it in chapter 5. You know, when I started looking at this double-minded spirit, I found scripture that talked about minds, M-I-N-D-S, in the scripture. It's there. And I said, Lord, I had never seen that before. I've told them this before, and I had studied it, but it was throughout the scripture. There are scriptures that tell. I've got them listed at home. I didn't bring with me because I wasn't teaching on that. But just the double-minded one with what James is talking about here. And God tells us here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 23, he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit..." Do you think maybe your spirit could be torn? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking this. I know it can be bruised and wounded. But he said your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us preserved. He wants this body preserved, blameless. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Blameless. Our whole soul. He wants us to have singleness of mind. A double-minded person eats from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as the sister Ruth said this morning, the good is not good in God's sight. It's the good of the flesh, the things of the flesh and the things of the world and the evil. We have been eating from the wrong tree. And so as you look at the double, I'm going to go a little further with this. The double-minded spirit, the two-soul person within you and I, if you go back to Genesis, I think it's 35, where Rebecca was pregnant. I get the right one in. Isaac's Rebecca. With two babies in her womb, two nations. The two nations represent two kingdoms. And he said, God told her when she went to the Lord and sought, the Lord said, the elder will serve the younger. There was two. He told her there were those two nations, and that they were already at war with one another. Were they not? They were struggling in her womb. And when you look at this, and if you go on and read this story, and I think I've got some scripture there on it, Jacob's and the other was Esau. Esau was hated by Jacob and his mother. Jacob was Rebecca's favorite. You remember the scripture that talks about one was the favorite and one wasn't? And so they were at war within her. Now, two minds within us, two, I don't know how many there are, because false personalities have a mind. You know, demons have minds, will, and emotions? Did you know that? Yeah. They feel, they think, they get mad. So within a person where there's the double-mindedness, there's that warfare that's going on, and the one that's the strongest is the one that controls. Now, I said when I was teaching on the two trees, the two natures in the church, I'd say the one you feed is the one that's in control. If you're eating from the tree of life, you got the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you think they might be both in your garden? You're the garden. You're God's garden. We're God's garden. And God says, now eat of the tree of life and you'll live forever. But if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. And so the one we eat from is the one that we're going to... The one we eat from the most is the one that is in charge. And so God is wanting us to become singleness of mind so we won't take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I was trying, I didn't lose my thought. I was asking the Lord if he wanted me to share something that he gave me. He hasn't told me yet. I take you far enough out. I better not give you some of it. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. I got ahead of myself talking about Genesis, but I'm going to go back to it because I want to share for it. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Did you know that most of the rejection in a person, I believe, comes from the mother? Because, first of all, the mother's the one that's carrying the child in the womb, in her womb, and next, the mother is with the child, raising the child more than the father. And so if the mother is rejected, feeling rejection, been rejected, then that child picks it up also. Okay, in Ezekiel 16 and we're going to start verse 4. Dr. Noel and I have a little difference of opinion on this, but that he can be wrong if he wants to. Right. No, don't do that. Oh, yeah, do it. I can tell it like it is, can't I? Okay, in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 4, we're reading here. I could back up and read it all, but I'm not. So then, as for thy nativity, well, let's begin with verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord, our Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to suffer thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person, and in the day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Now, when you back up to, I'm not going into the Hittite and Canaanite spirits, but when you back up to verse 4, and it talks about, it says here, and as thou was born, as for thy nativity, when the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to suffer thee. When you look at this, this is where rejection can enter in at the birth. I'm seeing this when the Lord was showing this to me. He showed it to me like this, and we're seeing this today with children that are being born when nobody wants them and doesn't love them. But if we had known when our children were born, if we knew about deliverance, we could have, even before the cord was cut, we could have loosed them from the bondage that was upon them. And he said, but when you go on and read this, then it tells us that God came by and he brought us forth. I've had people use this also to stop bleeding in people. Have you ever used this scripture? It does. He said, use the scripture and say, when a person is bleeding, and quote this scripture, and I've seen it work. It worked on me. I cut an artery one time and it did. And so I know that it does. But I want you to see that through this, at the birth, when a person is born into the world, if they're not really wanted, and this is, to me, I know this is talking about Israel and Jerusalem, but it's all, who are we? We're the spiritual Israel, aren't we? Okay. But rejection comes in also at birth. And over in, I'm coming back there in a minute, but go to Hosea chapter 2. Glory. Is it just me or is it warm in here? Hosea chapter 2. Excuse me. In verse 1 he said, in verse 1 of chapter 2, say ye unto your brethren, Amma, and to your sister, Rahama, I can't pronounce that, Yahweh did, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight and her adulteresses from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her in a dry land, and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy upon her and her children, for they are the children of whoredom. For their mother has played the harlot, and she that conceived them has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that will give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And when he's talking here and he says about I know he's talking about Hosea, and I know that it's in the spiritual realm he's talking another language, but I want you to see it like this, that the sins of the mothers are passed on to the children. He said, because your mother, what did he say? He said she didn't put away her whoredom and out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. And so all of these things are transferred to a person that walks in rejection. Let me put it like this. They rejected me. They don't love me. They love her or him more than they do me, mother and father. They love two children. They don't love me. They reject. They don't, and they don't use the word rejection. They say they just don't care anything about me. They prefer that one, and he gets everything he wants, and I can't have anything. You ever heard that from children? Why don't they love me? Rejection stops love. Cannot receive nor give love. And this is why many women, and I say men, get into prostitution, going sleeping with everything, every person they can. They're seeking love, but they're going the wrong way about it. Because a rejection is so strong on them that they cannot help themselves. Some people do different things. Maybe they won't go out into and get into sexual stuff, but, you know, maybe some people just eat a lot or sleep a lot or go out shopping and buy everything under the sun. Do you ever see women that do that? Trying to satisfy that desire within them that they can't receive love there. They need love so bad. But because rejection is there and working, they can't receive it. And so what do? I'm not ready to get into rebellion, but since I've come this far, I'll show you what they do. I'll show them. They don't love me. I'll make them notice me. And I'll do everything I'm big enough to do. Right? Rebellion comes in. So now you've got the double-minded thing. You've got the personality of rejection, and you've got one of rebellion. And they're two different vicious spirits. Rejection makes that individual go and seek more love, doing everything. I didn't finish this while ago, but the reason these personalities came in was because she was trying her best to win her father's love, please her mother, and these were soul ties between her father, between her mother, between her sister, her brother, you know, different ones where she. And this is where we get those soul ties. That's where those false personalities come in. No matter what you do, you cannot please someone when rejection is working in you. You cannot see it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She would talk. There was one that was specifically that I remember was an aunt. I don't remember how it came in, but it was something she was trying to do to please her. And she began to talk like her. And she looked like her. Her whole countenance would change, and you'd look at her in amazement and think, that's who it was. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about soul ties and had been teaching on soul ties, but I'd never seen one manifest. But that was the false personality and to get the thing out, I had to break the soul tie between her and the aunt, and then call it out. And it left. It was no problem to get out once we broke the soul tie. It left just like that. And so this is formed, though, by trying to please. My daughter had friends that lived next door to us. I'm saying she had us. I had a friend that lived next door that had twins, is what I was going to say, and she did. And my daughter was friends with both of these girls. They were 5 years older than my daughter. And she grew up, they kind of babysat her, you know. They kind of took her under the wing. Well, the younger, one of the twins, I don't know whether she was a younger, you know, I don't know which one was born first, was the one that felt her mother didn't love her. And it seemed like everything the mother did was for the older one, the other one. And this girl was so rejected But she tried everything under the sun to please her mother. In fact, she ended up taking her mother into her house, and her mother lived with her till she died. But she had tried, and she, even when she brought her mother into her house, the mother always grieved over the other girl. And it was such a spirit of rejection, but you know, we couldn't help her. I still know the girl, and she's still a friend of my daughter's and long distance, my daughter's in Florida, and I would love to do deliverance on her and get that rejection off of her from her mother. But she doesn't believe in deliverance. But you see it, and there's nothing you can do about it. But this is the way those false personalities come in. That's the way we get. You know, I'm dealing with a lady right now. She could have 32 for all I know. I'm not kidding. I was ministering to several of you women this morning, and I want to explain something to you, and I don't even remember who all I did it and was ministering to. But in this lady that I'm ministering to right now, there is a little girl in there that goes by her name. And it's a baby. It comes up as he's a ruler spirit, who he is. And he comes up like a baby. He will manifest in her. I haven't seen him in a while because when I get him, when he does manifest, y'all said, you talk to the demon? Yes, I do. I learned a lot of things. I told you this morning I did. They won't let him come up to talk to me sometimes because he tells me what I asked him. He'll tell me, I'm just a baby. I said, yeah, you've been there a long time. We're going to get you out. We're dealing with the personalities. We're still getting personalities out of her. And you can get them out, but you get them out one at a time. You say, well, I can get them out all at once. Well, great. I don't walk in the power and authority Jesus did. I have the authority he gave me. But, you know, he got them out. Had a demon came out in an hour after a while. And he had complete power, full. So people, you know, and someone referred to this. I don't remember who, either Sister Ruth or Marianne. That God says he'll only give you your land as you can possess it. Mm-hmm. In deliverance, he'll only give it to you. He'll only deliver you. It took us quite a while with her. And I had asked the Lord one time why it took so long to get her free. And he said, if everything that was in there got it out at one time, you wouldn't have anything left but a shell. Mm-hmm. And he said, the real person that he puts in our body, in the body, had not been able to mature and grow and learn. And so God was teaching her as we were doing deliverance on her. And it's been beautiful. And one thing about her, I got to say this, we've been on the floor with her wrestling, and she broke my nose one time. She did. She caught me off guard. They said, you were in the spirit. I was in the spirit, all right. But anyways, she would come up when we get a spirit out of her, praising the Lord. I mean, out of hard, rough deliverance. I'm going to tell you something, people, and I'm not lifting her up because I love her. She's my daughter. We adopted her. Jim and I adopted her spiritually a long time ago. But she lost her best friend. It cost her a lot, almost her family, to get free. But God freed her. And even the ones that left her have come back. See, it cost us everything. And I was going to teach on prayer this afternoon, and I'm going to say this to you. You know, the Word says over in Joel 2:32, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's a promise of God. Did you know that's a promise? And God says all the promises are yes and amen in Him. He didn't promise He'd give me a cattle on 1,000 hills. He now owns them. He didn't tell me He'd give me a gold Cadillac. He could if He wanted to, and I wouldn't have one. I had one time, and He told me it was my God. I got a little, oh boy. I'll tell you a lot about how He taught me. But what I'm saying is, He's every promise in this book that ministers to us spiritually, the things of the Spirit are ours. He said that you've asked him and you shall receive. And if you're double-minded and you've prayed for something and you haven't received it, and you say, well, I guess God don't want me to have it. He does not want me to have it. And the devil starts accusing you and telling you how mean you've been and all of that. Well, you need to agree with him quickly. The word says agree with your adversary quickly. Say, yeah, devil, you're right. And since you've reminded me of that, I'm going to praise the Lord for delivering me and setting me free and making me accountable, making me worthy. I am worthy of deliverance. Everything God's got, he's given to me. Run him off with praise. Thank him. And he says, you're not worth it. We weren't without Jesus. We're not. But you say, just thank him for reminding you to praise the Lord. Ryan, praise the Lord today. Devil, I'm so glad you told me. I got so much to praise him for. I've got so much to praise him for. He is my Lord, and he loves me. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. I do that when demons come in my house. I'll be sitting there, maybe reading or something, and wham, my TV, the show on TV, I'm knocked off. Wham, there's a knock on the shoes. Asked me last night, what's that banging on the wall? I said, I said, we left all the ones that follow us at home, but we picked up some more. We came over here. But when they go to making noises in my house, and they do, and somebody said to me, well, I didn't know spirits could make noise. Well, they can. They can kick the wall. They can bump the wall. They can turn your TV on, turn it off, and then turn your light on, turn it off. You say, really? Yeah. They can open the door and close it. And when they do that, I say, oh, Lord, I forgot to bind. I'm so glad they reminded me. And I start binding. Spiritual warfare. And the last, I don't know where these are coming from, but I've been dealing with familiar spirits for a week. They zoom in and out of our house, in and out of our car, and I don't know who's sending them, but I must be doing something they want to know about because they're sending that thing to spy on me. And I tell them, go back and tell them, I'm still here, and I'm planning to be here a while. Praise the Lord. Well, anyways, the Lord's good. Let's go over, back over. Let's go to Genesis 34, okay? I want to read this because there's one other scripture there I want to use. In Genesis 34, and I'm in Exodus, that won't work. Let's start with verse 1 through 3. And the Lord told me when I was reading this why this happened, and I'll read it and then I'll share it with you. It said in verse 1 in chapter 34 Genesis says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hittite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul cleaved unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. I was reading that, and I said, Lord, why did he rape her? He raped her. What brought that on? And the Lord said, the spirit of rejection brought it on. And I said, well, where did that spirit of rejection come from on her? I'm wanting to know. And so he told me, he said, in Genesis, I think it was Genesis 1, 3, he spoke to me about it. And he said that, let me get the right scripture. When Isaac had rejected Jacob, mm-hmm. He loved Esau a bit more than Jacob. Mm-hmm. Well, that curse came forth. And then when you go back over to make it to go further back, go back to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve rejected God's word. Rejection entered in. It was not in the world, so they rejected the word of God. When Eve, say the woman, partook of the fruit of the tree, she rejected God's word. We hear teaching on she rebelled. They rebelled against God. They disobeyed. They rejected. They rejected God. God told them they would die. Praise the Lord. Anyways, and he took her and he formed a soul tie with her. over in Proverbs 6:32, it talks about adultery destroys a wound, destroys the soul, brings a wound into the spirit. And I think it was Sister Ruth this morning when she said that if a man sleeps with a woman, or a woman sleeps with a man that's sleeping with, you know, every person he sleeps with or they sleep with, they are bringing in all those sins. How do they do that? Their soul tie. You think about this. God said in Genesis 1:24 that man and woman became one flesh. They were bonded together through sex. There was bloodshed. There was a covenant cut, right? Mm-hmm. And so they became one flesh. And they were bonded together. Now, when a man sleeps with another woman, or a woman with another, a man that's not her husband, then she's bonding with him. She's forming a soul tie. They become one through the sex act. And so through this soul tie, you know, soul ties are really powerful. When the Lord showed me this, and I'll see if I can remember to tell you for when I get through this, but when everything in that individual transfers. Ladies, if you've been divorced from a man and you've never broken a soul tie with him, you need to do it. Because whatever he's doing and whatever he's walking in now is still transferring to you through that evil soul. It's an evil soul tie. We have good soul ties with our husbands and wives. But when there's when sin enters in, it brings that evil one. Let me share this with you. I've shared this here before. My husband and I were real close. I could be in one room studying him in another, and we'd come up with the same sermon. And you say, how did they do that? I said, soul ties. I used to get so aggravated. He'd preach on Sunday morning. I preach Sunday night, because I always did deliverance on Sunday night. And he'd get up there and preach my sermon. And I said, you've been reading my notes. He said, yeah, I did. No, he did. He didn't have any idea where I was going to preach. I said, oh, well, the Lord must want me to do it, want us to do it twice. So he preached it his way, and I preached it what God gave me. Well, to make a long story short, he was still working for the public in the company. He owned a little bit of it. And he was around people, women. They had a lot of women in there that did were seamstress, and they were always sick. They had cold or flu, you know, everything. And he'd come home, and I'm home. I'm not around no one. I got the sniffles. I'm fighting off stuff. And I said, told him one night, I said, honey, I wish you'd do deliverance on me. I said, I'm so tired of this. I said, I don't know where it's coming from. I hadn't been out of the house this week, and yet here I am. And so he goes to praying for me, and he starts calling spirits off. I mean, you know, he's getting all the symptoms, and he's going after all that stuff. And nothing was happening. I get deliverance. I could just sit down by him and start getting deliverance. And I would get deliverance real easy, but nothing was happening. And I said, Lord, I don't understand this. And Jim said to me, hey, call it off of me. Call your symptoms off of me. Didn't make sense to me. He said, do it. I did. And I began to get deliverance. And when I did, he took back over and started calling the things off of him that I'd been calling, and I was upchucking over there. I got free from it. And I said, Jim, that's strange. And he and I was praying about it, and both of us came to the conclusion it was through an evil soul tie. He was at work, and all this stuff was latching on him. He wasn't sick, but he was bringing it home and giving it to me. And do you know that when we broke that evil soul tie, did you know he didn't bring me anything else? It was transferring through the soul tie. It's like an umbilical cord, you know. And we would pray that way. And I want to tell you something else. When Jim died, death wouldn't leave my house. And it kept coming at me. And it, you know, everything in the sun seemed to be happening. You know, I felt like I was going to have a heart attack, and I was getting a lot of his symptoms, and I wasn't sick. And I was thinking, Lord, I rebuked death. I broke the curse of death. I drove all the spirits out when he died at home. And I told all the spirits, I run the spirits off, better run death off, and he'd come right back. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. And the Lord said, break a soul tie between you and him of death. Call his death off of you. And I did. And death left my house. also had to get rid of a lot of stuff. Got rid of everything that had any semblance of his illness. Everything. Got it out of the house. So it wouldn't have a legal right to come back. But I got free from it. But it was so strong, you could come in my house and smell the thing, couldn't you? And we would pray, and we'd anoint the house. I'd anointed everything, and we'd done everything until I broke that evil soul tie and got rid of every medication he had. He, at the last, was on oxygen and all this. We got all of that, everything out of my house pertaining to sickness. It's powerful. An evil soul tie is powerful. A good soul tie is powerful. You can't break a good soul tie. God, we have a soul tie with God. We have a soul tie with our husbands. We have a good soul tie with our children. But, man, I have wandered around all over the world this afternoon. But it's important in the area of soul ties because of this double-mindedness and these false personalities. Okay? I still want to do this, Lord. Can I? Okay. He's brought it to me 3 times, so I'm going to do it. I was doing deliverance. I don't even remember one day, not too long ago, old lady in our church, and just kind of, I like to catch them off guard. You know, you don't do deliverance on Sunday morning, so she comes in, so Sunday morning we do deliverance. And that layman says, I wasn't prepared. I said, good. But we had prayed for her, and I went after the double-minded spirit. That's thank you, Lord. That's the way I got on this. And went after the rebellion. And I knew she was in rebellion. I knew she had had a lot of rejection. All this was still there. Yeah, excuse me. So on Wednesday night, she came in. She was a mess. I thought she was going to come in and just be perfect, you know. I thought I could just strangle her. We prayed 3 hours, the whole church. We just prayed in tongues. I'm telling you, it was good. I mean, the Spirit was good. The Holy Spirit was good. I mean, the power of God was there. And, he hates the Holy Spirit. That thing hated the Holy Spirit. He said, Holy Ghost, don't get that Holy Ghost around me. He said, he burns. I asked him why he didn't like the Holy Spirit. And he said, he burns me. And I said, Lord, burn him, burn him. But we didn't get... when she came back in, this was on a Wednesday night after Sunday that we run into the one that was burning. And I didn't know what we were dealing with then. I thought she was okay. I got a double-minded spirit off of her. And she had been tormented since Sunday. And she said, did you buy him backlash? I said, yeah, I buy him backlash. Retaliation? I said, what did you do? She said, fighting like everything since Sunday. So we had to do deliverance. We were fixing to sing. We couldn't sing. A thing was manifested back there. We couldn't do anything. We just went to work on it. And so when I don't know what else to do, I just pray in tongues. And I wasn't going to get too close to her because she likes to throw me on the floor. She hit me one day and I, like that. They still ran last. It wasn't funny. She flipped me. It caught me, and I hit my concrete floor when it got a thick carpet, but man, whew, didn't get hurt though, thank God. And so I wasn't going to get too close to her, but I finally got to the back of her, and I was just praying in tongues, and that thing came at me. He said, I hate the Holy Ghost. He's always after me. And I said, well, who are you? He said, you know. I said, don't. No, I don't. And but anyways, make a long story short, I kept after him to find out who he was, and he wouldn't tell me. And then finally, I said, Father, I just asking the Lord to reveal to me. Well, that thing was putting so much pressure on me, on my mind. You know, the demons, I told y'all they could do that, and I couldn't hear the Lord. So he kept saying, it said, I was in the Garden of Eden. You stupid old woman. I thought, yeah. And he said, I was in the tree. He said, and I can be good, and I can be evil too. And I thought, well, that's the serpent. But first, before I said that, I said, this has got to be an evil angel. And he laughed. He said, it wasn't him. And I put him to the test, and I asked him if it would stand before God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and holy angels. And he said, yes. then he went back and he quoted to me the test that I always give a demon. Well, it wasn't. He said he wasn't an evil angel. And you said you believe the demon? I was desperate. I wanted to know what it was, and I kept praying. I said, usually the Lord just gives it to me. And then I said, well, come out of there, you demon. He said, I told you it wasn't a demon. So I thought, well, the only other person thing was in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve and God and the serpent. And, of course, the two trees. And where do you go? Some of you good deliverance workers, you tell me what to do. So I go to the bathroom. And I told those girls, I said, y'all keep praying. So, because, you know, I'm going to run in here in my prayer closet where I went. And I said, Lord, I don't know what that is. And the Lord spoke it to me, the curse of sin and death. And I'd never heard that, the curse of sin and death that could talk. I mean, the curse going to talk to me of sin and death. And I still don't know what it is, what it was. And I went back out there, and he said, took you long enough. It was real encouraging. But anyways, we went after it, and she got a bukus of deliverance from that thing. She went home, and I didn't hear from her. And I thought, surely she'd call me on Monday morning and on Thursday morning and say, hey, I'm great. I didn't hear from her. And her mother called me and said, sometimes said, she is so confused, she don't know who she is. So we went back the last time after schizophrenia. That's what we went after, wasn't it? And we got that off, and she's been doing really good. But we went through warfare you wouldn't believe. But I had never heard of this. I don't know what it is. I still don't know what that spirit is. Now, I'll take that back. We didn't go after sin and death. I went after the man of sin. That's what I got off her. The man. I didn't go after schizophrenia. I did get the sin and death. I did get that spirit off. But the man of sin was the ruler. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when that God said, if you partake of the tree, you're going to die. That was a curse from God. Sin brought the curse of death. And so we got that off of her. And what we did was it's like taking grave clothes off. You know, Jesus said when he raised Lazarus from the dead, said, you loose him and let him go. And he brought him up and told the people to loosen him. Well, God, you know, if he raised him from the dead, there would have been no problem for him to take the grave clothes off. But he told man to take the grave clothes off. So when we went after the man of sin, I've got a teaching on that God gave me from this. As I told you all this morning, I get into the Word after the Lord talks to me. Or demons tell me anything. I want to search it out to see if it be true or not. And so he got me into the area of 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you some revelation on the scripture that I've had a lot of trouble with a long time. And this is kind of a side trip, but let me hold my place there and come back to it. Am I boring y'all?
No.
Okay, I just felt that I need to share a lot of things with you because I may never, you know, get another chance. But I wanted to share what some of the things that the Lord had given me. In 2 Thessalonians, in that chapter 2, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, that he might be, that which withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. That verse right there. Do any of you understand what that verse is saying?
Which verse?
Verse 6 of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. When I did this study on the man of sin, that man of sin in man that's sitting on the throne in that false kingdom in us is holding and withholding and keeping us from seeing and understanding the things of God. God revealed that to me. I have read that and read that. And I've heard people that teach on the Maybe I better not say that. On the end time, say that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the earth, and then all hell breaks loose. If it gets worse, we better be prepared to do warfare. But when the Lord was revealing to me that that man of sin, where is the kingdom of God? We are the temple of God, right? Well, in the temple there is a throne, is there not? Okay, on that throne is either the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, or there's a man of sin ruling and reigning. You still got the double-mindedness there, and you still got the false kingdom there. And that thing that's sitting in your temple that we have not been freed from is ruling and keeping us from walking in the power and letting our spirit and soul become, the soul become in subjection to the spirit man, because he knows how to take control in you and I. That's what we cast out, that girl in our church. And when it came out, she was a different person. Said, well, I don't have no man of sin in me. Good. So you're tabernacling with God. Listen, people. The man of sin is in that kingdom. Oh, I hope I don't confuse anybody. I've traveled in every direction. But we were born in Satan's kingdom. Ephesians tells us that. Ephesians 2 tells us that he was the God of this world and we were under his authority till we came to Jesus. Why do you think it's so hard for us to have singleness of mind? Why do you think it's so hard for us to walk in the power and authority of God? Because there is a ruler, there's a strong man in there ruling, sitting on the throne. If we let him take an authority over us, where we need to take authority over him. If you don't believe it, start binding that thing in you. Bind him. And see what happens. I was telling someone this morning, when I said it, bind the spirits in you. You know, we're always seeing spirits in other people. We need to bind them in ourselves. But God wants us to be free. Do a study on this man of sin. I'm not saying there's not one going to rule. I don't know. But I know there's one in me that wants to rule. And I know he wants to have his way. And he knows how to manipulate the flesh. He knows how to manipulate and do the things that God doesn't want me to do. And I'm trying to starve that dude out. We're going to get him down. And one day my church is going to gang up on me. And when y'all see me again, I'm going to be free from it. Don't get too anxious. they do love. They said they're going to see the day I'm on the floor. Now, I don't doubt it. They said it. That's okay. If it takes that to get me free from the things that need to come out, great. Okay, that didn't cost you anything, but you take that one scripture and you look at that and you read that and you see what keeps you from walking where you want to walk. It's not the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. Something keeps us from walking in the fullness of the Spirit and walking in the place we want to walk. Man, I cry out for the Lord. I want His presence. I don't want just the knowledge of Him. I want Him. I want to know Him. I want to see Him. I want to see Him. I sing that song, I want Your glory, Lord, more than life itself. I want Your glory, Lord, more than anything else. I'm hungry for God's glory. Aren't you hungry for Him? Amen. We have the Word. We know the Word. Some of us are so Word, we're Word poor. But maybe we don't know the author like we want to. And that's what my heart's cry is. And there's something that blocks it, that tries to keep you from receiving what God wants to give us. It's ours. God's already given it to us. But it's hard for us to receive it. Praise the Lord. Y'all need a break? Excuse me? Okay. We're going to take a 20-minute break, okay, and come back. And
this is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.